Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
Please, no dancing in the aisles.
But
let's hear a little more Zorba. I want to hear more Zorba. Because after all, were it not for the Greeks, we would have no logic. At least our ancestors. It was Plato, Aristotle, who gave us the entire foundation of Western civilization. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Welcome to the Savage Nation. So where do we begin, my friends? We go back to the basics of the Savage Nation. I've completed a cycle. You've completed a cycle. It's not that we're exhausted. We want to move on. Now, if every day I'm going to get up and look at the news and say Trump did this, Obama said that, this and that, okay, fine, it's a radio show, but it's not my style. It's not my Earl Grey. It's not even my Jasmine. It's just Lipton tea. You know what I'm saying? That's been around too long in the cabinet. And I don't particularly like tea that's been around too long in a cabinet. I like tea with a pungent aroma. I begin every one of my shows. You ask the guys who work with me, they see me through the Skype screen there, Robert and Jim. Every show, when you hear that opening music, I have my hand on a Bible and I say every day, if I forget it, I get a little off base. I say, wait a minute, where's the Bible? Where's the Bible? Where's the Bible? Sometimes I travel, I don't have it with me. The one with like 50, 60, 70, 80 post-its in it. I put my hand on it like I'm in a court of law, and I say a simple statement. I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God. And it's as though I am on trial. Everyone in talk radio is on trial, and they know it. I don't forget it. I don't know what the next person does. So if I don't come before you willing to examine everything that's going on with an open mind, open heart, I'm not doing my job properly, and I don't think you're going to listen to me as intently as you have. Now, that's a long introduction. I realize that, and you don't know where I'm going with it, but I do. I've completed a long cycle. The cycle was Scorched Earth came out in October. With your help, it became a bestseller. More important than that, the book was used to push Trump over the finish line. That's the most important thing I've ever done in my life. That's number two. Number three was the Hall of Fame Awards last Thursday, which I couldn't attend, but I attended on the air, and I got the glass plaque, whatever. It's nice. It's beautiful. I cherish it. It's right here. It's on my Facebook thing. That's the end of a long cycle. I mean, there's a lot of events that have gone on in my radio life, right? So I don't have to top it every day. I can't get up here every day looking to be Babe Ruth hitting one out of the park. First of all, it can't be done. Second of all, I think you're actually past that point with me. Unfortunately, today I'm alone in the studio, and there's a teapot whistling in the background, which is unbelievable. This shows you how natural the show is. So if you're listening to me in a prison cell in Rikers Island or Corcoran or wherever you may be, or the prison cell of your mind, yeah, it's ruining the mic, isn't it? Robert, play the Greek music. I'll be back in 1 second. All right, I'm back. Just a show on the Natch, that's all. No assistant, flute. No maid, flute. Dog at the hairdresser. How come I'm sitting here? I don't understand. Everyone's sick and I'm not sick. What is it? Everyone got sick all of a sudden? Yeah, everyone's sick all of a sudden. Everyone's disappeared on me, including the Trump campaign, which I'm going to get to in a minute. I read this morning. Hold on. Here it is. Let me get the article. I read the rogues gallery that has been marching through the Trump Tower. I was stunned. Deadline Hollywood, Dominic Patton, Donald Trump meeting with media brass excellence, says Kellyanne Conway update. So I said to him, wait a minute. Who's in there? Who's in there? Wolf Blitzer is meeting with Donald Trump? George Stephanopoulos? Fox News people who attacked him? I can't believe it. Chuck Up Chuck Todd? President Phil Pill Griffin is there? Charlie Rose? Nora O'Donnell? John Dickerson, who all spit on him during the campaign? And I say to myself, wait a minute. Maybe I'm reading this wrong. So I say, why is Trump meeting with his enemies, not his friends? Say, oh, no, this is not sour grapes. I don't go anywhere, by the way. If he said to me on a phone, come to the inauguration, I don't know if I'd go. I'll be honest with you. But he hasn't. I'm in a level with you. I told you. I tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. How many times was he on the show saying, when I say the umbrella, I have the umbrella. Oh, don't worry. You keep that umbrella. Well, I have the umbrella. I think I'm not going to be using it for the inauguration. But why is he meeting with these people who spit on him and disrespected him so? Well, I'm asking myself, why is Trump meeting with his enemies, not his friends? But I'm getting ahead of myself again. I'm getting way ahead of myself because I can figure this one out. It's not that hard to figure out. He's triangulating them, okay? Keep your enemies close. We got it. We all saw The Godfather. Please don't call on that. Don't give me Radio 101. I mean, the lowest prisoner in Rikers Island knows the answer to this question. I keep saying Rikers Island now, like you don't even know what it is. Rikers Island is like a tomb in New York where they put people in there. It's a beyond belief, a medieval prison. It's worse than where they put war heroes who did their job in Iraq and Afghanistan. Worse. We got guys rotting in Fort Leavenworth who are leading lives worse than the worst murderer awaiting trial in Rikers Island. I haven't seen anyone go out and visit them and release them from the Bastille. Why has there been no statement from any of the greats around Donald Trump that the first thing they're going to do is they're going to revisit all of the people who were jailed for doing their jobs a little too well in Iraq and Afghanistan under Bush and then Obama? How come we haven't heard that? Why is there no amnesty for them, I ask myself? Well, I have a lot of questions I'm asking. I don't have any answers. But again, I'm getting ahead of myself on this day of the Greek, the day of the Greek. I was watching a TV show called The Night Of. Obscure. No, none of you saw it. One guy will call from New Jersey, who's a shut-in, telling me he knows it's great. But a lot of the scenes, well, John Turturro plays a guy, a schleppy lawyer in it, who gets a Pakistani Muslim kid as a client who's accused of murder because he goes out with a girl. They get high. Girl's found dead. He didn't do it. Blah, blah, blah. So the kid gets thrown into Rikers Island. It's a series. I've been binge-watching. It's been raining out here. Drinking more wine than I have in the past with the rainy weather. I got to tell you, it's not bad. Found a new Italian wine, a Valpolicella. I used to love Valpolicella. Most of it became swill that the people in Italy didn't know. They thought people didn't know the difference. But they're competing again. The wine was good. So I'm drinking more wine, as I say, eating a little better, taking care of myself, enjoying watching TV, sitting out the rain, waiting for the show, and here I am. So I say, now what am I going to do today? I'm going to sit here and bellyache about this and about that. I don't even want to do that. I wanted to do some other things today, which I'm going to do. So then I see the American Music Awards. What did you expect from a bunch of junkies who are talentless? What, because they can sing and dance like a puppet? That makes them intelligent? So you got that low-class model, Hadid something. I don't even know who she is. What, she has a good behind in a bathing suit? So you expect her to have a brain to go with it? Excuse me, I didn't. I never looked for the Hadid with the bikini to give me advice politics. So she attacks Melania Trump last night at the American Music Awards, and they all cheer. Now what did you expect? Or a racist cast in a play called Hamilton. They said whites need not apply when they were casting for the play. Can you believe this? All the white actors in New York who hated Trump couldn't get a job in the play, and they still voted for Hillary to show you how they dig their own grave and throw the lime in it. So this cast of racists boos Pence over the weekend. And what happens? Oh, it's a big celebration. They violate protocol. What did you expect from a cast of low-life nobodies? What, because they're actors, they're smart? Look at Robert De Niro, how he destroyed himself. Boy, did he gamble wrongly. Did you hear what I just said? Huh? Raging Bull really made a mistake. I'd like to punch him in the nose. He's a mook. He's a this. He's a who? He's a mook. He's a hook. I'd like to punch him in the nose. That Trump's a hook, a mook. He's finished. I won't even watch a rerun of Robert De Niro now. I wouldn't watch him at all. Never. And I loved him as an actor. I'm boycotting him. That's it. I'll give you a whole list soon of all people. If I flip by a television now, and any of them are on it, Chris Rock flip. any one of them that exposed themselves to haters, I don't watch them. I've been exposed to boycotts my entire career by the five fascists who run the advertising business. Did you hear what I just said? Why do I have to suffer in silence any longer when I represented the majority of America? Why should I suffer anymore and not tell you what's really going on? I say to myself every day. But again, I'm getting ahead of myself, and I don't intend to. I want to go back to where I started in radio. And I started in radio in 94, and I built it upon a book called Plato's Republic. Now, this show is called The Savage Nation. It was derived from Plato's Republic. Now, what was Plato's Republic about? Well, first of all, let me tell you what it is. It's an outline of an ideal society. That's all it is. Plato wrote a book on how a state should be ordered. He wrote it thousands of years ago. And I had to read this in high school to show you how far we've fallen. We've gone from Plato's Republic to Donnie Has Two Daddies in just a few short years in America. Instead of reading the greats, which educate you and exercise your mind, we have degenerated the entire nation. Well, I'll get to that a little later. I want to stay paused. So I can't believe it. I was cleaning out books, at least my assistant was, and he jumbled them all up. My old library was moved to another house, and it was all over the house. Everywhere I turned, I didn't know what to do with them. So I went in the carton today, and there it was. Plato's Republic jumped out. So in the midst of disorder, I found order. I'd been looking for the book. I couldn't find it last week. So I find the book. Plato talked about what I'm going to talk about 2,700 years ago. He wrote about the ideal society. Now, at least he had a plan on how to order a society. Whether you agree with him or not, he had a plan for government. And he wrote, if the city or nation is the soul of a society, what did this actually say? He wrote about sports, about welfare reform. He invented the field of philosophy. And I was flipping through Plato's Republic, and I have the B. Jowett edition, Master of Balliol College, that old one, Modern Library edition. Remember those? In the old days when there were books? Those crazy old days when people picked up a hardcover book? And I stumbled upon something about the American Music Awards. Plato foresaw the low-life degenerates who would come along in the entertainment business. And he wrote a whole dialogue on artists and musicians and what they would do to a society. He wrote, if amusements become lawless, what they will do to a state. And I'm going to read this to you because it's so important that we go back not only to the beginning of my beginning of radio, but to the beginning of our civilization, Western civilization. I don't care where you came from. I don't care if you climbed out of a third world cesspool. You are living in a Western nation. You came here for the benefits that we created for you. You didn't create Jack. You came here to suck it dry. So don't tell me about your sacred third world basket weaving society. And by the way, let me tell you something else. I spent more time in third world societies than any one of you belly achers would ever imagine. It's not like I'm disrespecting it. I know all about it. I've lived in Fiji, Tonga, Samoa. I've lived in the most obscure island societies you could ever imagine. Places that the effete hipsters can't even imagine exist. I've lived in villages. I've slept on straw mats. I've drank kava kava long into the night. I appreciate the third world, but I don't like living in it. If you don't mind, I prefer indoor plumbing to defecating in a hole in the ground, by the way. I don't like tribal society. I like Western society. So why don't you listen and find out a little bit more, if you're one of the people who don't really know what's going on, to the foundations of Western civilization. Oh my God, it's 20 minutes after. How did I get here so fast? See, I started slow with the Greek music. I got a theme going. I got a tempo going. I got a pace going. And when I come back, we're going to go to pace, grace, and space right here on The Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. The time is so short, I can't even start thinking. I'll get tongue-tied before I start a thought. I got a minute now to develop a thought. It'll take me an hour. So, what do you think about this? Are you angry at that? What do you think about this? What do you think about that? I'm not going to do it. The cycle's over. Forget about it. The election's over. years of attacking Obama, rightly so. 8 years. Now what? Now what are you going to do now? Who are you going to attack now? Who are the conservatives in the media supposed to attack now? Who's left to attack? Nobody. So if you're just going to follow the same thought patterns, I'm talking to my audience now, what good is that? What good is that, right? So I have to do what I think is interesting. So what I think is interesting is telling you the foundations of Western civilization. After Obama has spent 8 years dynamiting the edifice of our civilization, blowing up every monument to the greatness of the past, beginning when that interloper took over the White House and threw out the bust of Winston Churchill and replaced it with, I don't know, even know who he put in there. I have no idea who's in there. He takes one of the great men of the West and throws the bust out. It bothers him personally. You know what bothers me about Obama? Oh, I wish I could put this in a way that people would really understand it. See, they're sitting on the edge. They want me to say something that destroys my career after all these years. I'm not going to do it. Just understand, I don't fall off high wires. It's not what I do. How is it that a man who was a spoiled brat his entire life, raised by white grandparents, could have hated Caucasian America so much and have such an enmity to Western civilization? Is that walking the line properly? Robert De Niro, answer me. Come on, De Niro, call the show. I know you listen.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Which way did Greeks vote, I wonder? Did they like Trump? I would think Greeks... It's hard to say, though, how a Greek would vote. Can you generalize? Like, you know, like certain ethnic groups, you know that they were 99% Democrat. That you know. Like Jews, you know, 90%. Then it changed a little bit for Trump because of Israel and because of the years of Obama anti-Semitism. Okay, so a little bit... generally African-Americans, 90% Democrat. But you can't say, like, how did the Irish vote? Because what does Irish mean? I mean, like, from Ireland, of Irish descent? Irish are generally very liberal. That's the hard thing for you to understand. Like, tough guys with tattoos, they can come out on the other side of politics. You're like, hey, how you doing? Make America great again. Boom. Punch the nose. You don't know. You got to be careful with the Irish. Like Italians. Every time you see a tough Italian, you assume that they're conservative. Not so. Sacco and Vanzetti, great past of anarchism, left-wing activism. But that's not where I wanted to go today. I just want to schmooze. I'm rapping. This is called a rap. You can relax a little bit. Thursday, turkey. I don't even know where I'm going for Thanksgiving. The plans are so up in the air. It's our first Thanksgiving. You remember the old day of the show? The old days, I would stay home and actually cook a turkey in one of my home studios and come in and out of the turkey cooking and do a show. Raise your hand if you're listening to those great days of the Savage Nation. To this day, I remember it. I'd be up in the oven during the breaks, basting, testing rags, smelling, lifting the stuffing. And then I would be back running down to the studio because I wanted to be with you for Thanksgiving. I was lost on those long weekends. Even Black Friday I would come in sometimes. I don't shop. Why would I go buy shop? Why would I shop on Black Friday? I don't. It's blank Friday to me. It's like a nightmare. There's nothing to do. I don't go shopping. I'm sort of a Scroogey type in the family. I don't give gifts. If they give them to me, I grunt. I say thank you. I don't know what to do with gifts. I have drawers full of stuff I bought years ago. I never wore. I find stuff from like 1975 in the package. I don't need anything. All I want is my sanity and my health, and I want my nation back. Which is why I helped elect Trump. Ah, but there's the rub. When I see him meeting with the weasels of the left who undermine them, I come to the conclusion that he's very clever and he's meeting with them to triangulate them and get them onto his team. I get it. But that's not the whole picture. I told you he was a social liberal along the way. I told you that if he does nothing except better our national security, secure our borders, deport the illegal aliens in prison, lower our taxes, and I don't mean by 2%. I don't want to hear my federal tax goes from 39.5 to 36. That's not going to please me. That's going to be double talk. When they suddenly sit down the number crunches and say, oh, Mr. President, you can't lower them anymore because we won't have the money. Oh, really? Make sure that Facebook and Microsoft and Google pay their fair share and repatriate their money, then you won't have to screw us anymore. Should be lowered to like 25. I want 25 Fed. He can't do anything about the communist state of California. 15% state tax. Can you believe this? Why didn't Jerry Brown just make it 25 state? There's only a few people who pay it. Let us all drop dead, right, Jerry? Till eventually have nothing left but illegal aliens. What do you care? So anyway, yeah, taxes, national security. The rest is gravy. And think about what she would have done, I say to myself. Now, that could be a rationalization. I understand that. But it isn't. Because we were in such bad shape under the deceitful one. Gallivanting now, Lima, Peru, down here. Every time he's somewhere else attacking America. He specializes in it. Golf course in Lima, he's there. Air Force One. Where's the wife? Air Force Two? Oh, I found a story before I get back to Zorba the Greek's ancestor, Plato, and the Republic on musicians, which I mean to do, by the way. Play nothing. I got to find this story. You won't believe this. Look at the story I found this morning. I pick up the internet. I pick up the internet. Funny. I pick up the paper. I don't read a paper. Richard Johnson, New York Post, page 6. It's one of my favorite columns. Where the headline is, the Obamas are moving into a 9-bedroom mansion in the Kalorama section of Washington. The posh neighborhood of diplomats. I love what's behind clothes. Diplomat. Oh, look at that. There's a diplomat. You ever see what the dipsomaniacs in the diplomats' houses? What's behind the closed door in Georgetown? If there was a handy cam in those houses, you wouldn't have to do another reality show for the rest of eternity. The posh neighborhood of diplomats and D.C. old money. Old money. What does old money mean? They're in the drug business before everybody else. That's all. While younger daughter Sasha finishes high school at Sidwell Friends. Well, that's a cheap school. But they've been apparently buying real estate elsewhere, too. According to sources, the Obamas have purchased a house in Rancho Mirage, California, not far from Sunnylands, the former Annenberg Estate, which presidents use as a getaway and which is thought of as the unofficial West Coast Camp David. Rancho Mirage, where Gerald Ford retired, is a top destination for golf, a favorite pastime of President Obama. The Obamas are also said to have bought a holiday getaway in Obama's childhood home state of Hawaii. So he's got now two houses now. Wait a minute. He got a 9-bedroom mansion in D.C. They purchased a house in Rancho Mirage. He bought a holiday home in Hawaii. Wait a minute. So I have a question on the top of my little paper here. Where did the Obamas suddenly get the money to buy three houses? Am I allowed to ask that? How come all the reporters that just went to Trump's tower haven't asked that single question? Wait a minute. Where did he get the money to buy the three houses? I don't know. Can anyone explain that to me? I know that they found $175 billion somewhere in the White House to give to Iran so they could develop a nuclear weapon. No one's even asked where that money came from. Where did that money come from? Where did that money come from? Where did that money come from? Where did $175 billion in cash come from? I don't know. Where did the money come from to buy three houses? He didn't buy the three houses. Who bought them then? Who paid for them? Okay, he's doing it what? On the what's he's going to make? And the lecture circuit? Maybe. Maybe it's like a mortgage? No. Wouldn't it usually be someone bought a house for him as a loan and he'll smear him back and he'll pay him like $1 on $1,000, $1 on $3. I don't know how this works. No one's listening right there. Either they're dumbfounded by what I've been doing today because they don't know how to even follow where I'm coming from or where I'm going. Or they're not interested in anything I'm saying. So at that point, I'll assume you're not interested in anything I'm saying, and I'm not going to continue on that thread. So I will go back to art as a corrupting influence. And in order to do that, I have to go back to Plato's Republic. Book I read in high school, Jamaica High School, carried with me. I named the Savage Nation based upon it because Plato's Republic, Savage Nation, very good idea. Here we are 20 years later, 22 years later. So I'm reading what he had to say about how to create a perfect society. And it's written as a dialogue where he's speaking to an interlocutor. And he talks about artists. And he says that when modes of music change, the fundamental laws of the state always change with them. Yes, said Adamantus. And you may add my suffrage to Damon's and your own. And then I said, our guardians must lay the foundations of their fortress in music? Yes, he said, the lawlessness of which you speak too easily steals in. Yes, I replied in the form of amusement, and at first sight it appears harmless. Why, yes, he said, and there is no harm were it not that little by little this spirit of license, finding a home, imperceptibly penetrates into manners and customs, whence issuing with greater force, it invades contracts between man and man, and from contracts goes on to laws,
and constitutions in utter recklessness, ending at last, Socrates, by an overthrow of all rights, private as well as public. Really? Finding a home penetrates into manners and customs? He's talking about music. Oh, you mean when a rap star rubs his crotch on the stage? Oh, I didn't understand that. When the bling is in the teeth and they rub their pubic area on a stage? Is that what Plato was seeing? Wait a minute. Mean he had that right? Is that true? I said. That is my belief, he replied. Then, as I was saying, our youth should be trained from the first in a stricter system. For if amusements become lawless, and the youths themselves become lawless, they can never grow up into well-conducted and virtuous citizens. And when they have made a good beginning in play, and by the help of music, have gained the habit of good order, then this habit of order, in a manner how unlike the lawless play of the others. So they go on about that. Did I make my point? You say you want to cause a revolution. Remember the Beatles? I play a lot of rock and roll. So what am I saying? Then he goes on to garments that should be worn. You hear this? What garments or shoes are to be worn? The mode of dressing the hair. Deportment and manners in general. You would agree with me. It would seem, Adamantus, that the direction in which education starts a man will determine his future life. Does not like always attract like, to be sure. So you see where I'm coming from? I'm illustrating to you some of the key points of what Plato wrote in the Republic about the ideal society. And one of them was about how artists always mislead people that they're like a weed. And take a look at what happened last night at the American Music Awards. Take a look at the filth in the entertainment industry, and you ask yourself why the society is a wreckage right now and disordered. You understand what I'm saying? Art has been used to corrupt man going back to Plato. And if you thought that when the election results were in, everything would be over, you were wrong. Immediately there were protests in the streets. They were created by community organizers with people being bussed in to destroy property and create chaos and deliver a picture of true unrest as a result of their unrest. And then, of course, came the artists and the celebrities who chimed in on their shows, on stages, on Twitter, whining, crying, and agitating for a different result. Over the weekend, we all witnessed attempts at making the Trump win illegitimate. Vice President-elect Mike Pence attempted to enjoy a play on Broadway, Hamilton, and was subjected to a lecture by the start of the show after it ended, purposely being embarrassed by the so-called artists. Then on last night's American Music Awards, Trump was ridiculed, even his wife was made fun of, and some acts blatantly compared Trump to the KKK and fascism. So you say, well, we should ignore them. They're just a bunch of dumb celebrities. Well, I'm telling you to ignore these dumb artists at your own peril. You see, art and music has been used for centuries to influence the masses, and many times to see the demise of great societies. And I'm going to tell you more about this. Actually, I'm going to do a little bit more right now. I want to read you a piece from Plato, because now is our time where we question where we as a society are going and where we must go if we are to save Western civilization from further destruction. In Plato's Laws, he wrote, "They were men of genius, but they had no perception of what was just and lawful in music. And by composing licentious works and adding to them words as licentious, they have inspired the multitude with lawlessness and boldness and made them fancy that they could judge for themselves about melody and song. In music, there first arose the universal conceit of omniscience and general lawlessness. Freedom came following afterwards, and men, fancying that they knew what they did not know, had no longer any fear, and the absence of fear begets shamelessness. For what is the shamelessness which is so evil a thing but the insolent refusal to regard the opinion of the better by reason of an overdaring sort of liberty?" See, Plato saw art and music as powerful and therefore potentially dangerous. And we saw last night what happens when a group of deranged junkies who have the power of Hollywood behind them and armies of lawyers and PR agents and the newspapers always support them no matter what they do. You can see what happens to a society, or you got to look, take a look at all the faces in the rehab centers. I'm Michael Savage, and I approve of my monologue.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com.
Freedom of speech. Some Plato thought music, along with the other arts, should be part of the curriculum for young students, as it helped influence behavior and character. But he thought they should be controlled at first, only presenting what was commonly accepted as good. But the fact of the matter is, music and art have been used to tear down cultures for millennia. Plato saw what happened, saw it happen in ancient Greece. A case can be made that artistic subversion helped bring down the Roman Empire. And we're seeing it right here in America today. Take a look at the degenerates in the music business. You may like the tunes. I listen to music, but think about the effect it has on people. Think about it. And that's why the left controls the arts. Because by controlling the arts, they cleverly control the minds. FDR knew this way back in the 1930s when he commissioned 20,000 artists to help him sell his Soviet New Deal policies. In this election cycle, musicians were out in full force pushing for Hillary Clinton. The good news is there are many of us out there who are still thinking and not letting these artists influence our minds. The bad news is there are an increasing number of people willing to submit themselves to a life lived in images and song rather than in intellect. And this will lead to the eventual end of Western civilization as it has in the past. So, again, I started with Plato's Republic for the bigger point, and now we got some callers. Susan, WABC, New York. Susan, go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, I want to thank you. I had to pull over. I just learned so much from you. It was just choice. I mean, it all came together for me. I mean, I've been trying to understand why is it that artists who have very, very vague and dubious talent, why they feel that they are allowed to pontificate and people listen to them. And I've been so frustrated by this, but I understand.
Yeah, like last night there was some woman, Hadid, I never heard of her. Apparently she has a nice behind. And so because her gluteus maximus is particularly attracted to a certain type of personality, she thinks that her brain is also attractive?
Well, I wouldn't watch a program like this. I've long stopped watching these kinds of programs.
I don't watch the American Music Awards, but it's all over the media today because it's all one and the same. The entertainment and the news business are owned by the same people. Murdoch owns everything. Rupert Murdoch owns everything. News, books, newspapers, television, radio, records. One man, Murdoch, controls it all. But I want to go back to Plato, not Murdoch. I could care about Murdoch. I'm interested more in ideas than I am in any one man. Because all men come and go, myself included. What's more important is the arc of history in which we are living and how it affects us. That's why I quoted from Plato's Republic. I think you are telling me you appreciate that, correct?
Tremendously. And I'm going to run to the library and get it and read it. And
I didn't write it, unfortunately, so I wouldn't recommend you buy it.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
An ancient Greek philosopher who wrote a book called Plato's The Republic. He talked about the ideal society and how a state should be ordered in this book. I happen to have been lucky to go to Jamaica High School in Queens. I believe I read it in high school. I'm not sure. I think so. And I have my original edition, Modern Library. With many notes in it, I had misplaced the book for years. But this is how I founded my show. It was built upon this concept of what is the ideal society. We never talk about it. Many of us in talk radio just sit here and critic, yap. This is no good. That's no good. Liberals, this. I've done it myself. I understand. But at a certain point, you have to step back and say, wait a minute. What are we bellyaching about? What do we want? What's the ideal society that we're trying to achieve? We never think about it. What is the master plan? Okay, so I write books. I wrote, I'll read you the names. I'm not ashamed of them, proud of them. Scorched Earth, Government Zero, Stop the Coming Civil War were my most recent books. In them, I sort of present what I think is right thinking about what a state should be doing in terms of education, the church, the military, the borders. I write about that. It's a fact that I do. But what is the ultimate goal of a well-ordered state? And how does a state get so off base? So in the first hour, I talked about how musicians destroy societies. I know it's odd to hear since I'm a man who plays a lot of rock and roll, heavy metal, music. Doesn't mean I don't understand what it does to people's minds who are weak. I understand that and how it can be used to subvert children. And it does, and turns many of them into drug addicts. I know you're laughing, but it's true. And the proof is in the pudding. Just take a look at who's in rehab centers. Okay, so that's one thing we were talking about. But how do we order a state, a perfect state? Well, I don't know that we can, but are we talking about it? We see that Donald Trump, keyword Trump. Oh, he said Trump knows all. Trump knows everything. Give him a chance. He knows everything. Trump knows all. Oh, he knows everything. Don't you worry. Everything. Don't criticize him. Trump knows everything. Well, I'm sorry. If I say to you that I sit here, and every day I put my hand on the Bible and say, I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, do you expect me to sit here like a stooge and do for Trump what people did for Obama in the media? I won't do it. I can't do it. Or I'll just leave radio. You'll never hear from me again. So again, I'm just going not to talk about Trump. I'm talking about the ideal society. What is the ultimate goal of an ideal society? What's the greatest good of an ideal society? Do you know what that is? Well, let's talk about it from the point of view of this ancient Greek book, Plato's Republic. And he calls leaders the guardians of our state. You hear that? Guardians of our state. And he asks, what is the greatest good and what is the greatest evil? You hear? And he says, can there be any greater evil than discord and distraction and plurality where unity ought to reign, or any greater good than the bond of unity? He's writing this 2,700 years ago. And there is unity where there is community of pleasures and pains, where all the citizens are glad or grieved on the same occasions of joy and sorrow. He asks, and the interlocutor says, no doubt. And he says, and there is unity where there is community of pleasures and pains, where all the citizens are glad or grieved on the same occasions of joy and sorrow, question mark. Yes, and where there is no common but only private feeling, a state is disorganized. When you have one half of the world triumphing and the other plunged in grief at the same events happening, to the city or the citizens. Now, that's an interesting statement. So what are we talking about? A fascist dictatorship? Sort of, by the way. I've read all the criticisms of Plato. Basically, he's laying out the groundwork for A, a socialist state, and B, a fascist state. I know that as well. It doesn't mean I'm not going to read it to you and discuss it. I'm aware of what I'm saying. I see the bigger picture. But it doesn't mean we should not be discussing right now on this radio show, which is heard around the world, with a new administration, what actually are the goals? What is a well-ordered state? Which is what I'm doing. We're never going to have all citizens glad or grieved at the same time unless they live in North Korea, where if they don't go along with Fatso's emotions, they shoot him or slave him to death. If Chubby had a good night before with five hookers from Moldova, he smiles and the whole nation smiles. If Chubby's hemorrhoid was acting up, he kills 3,500 people somewhere in the provinces. But that's not the kind of world we want to live in. So he says, it's not the best ordered state in which the greatest number of persons apply the terms mine and not mine in the same way to the same thing. So he's arguing what, for communism? I don't really know. He could be. He's talking about common feelings in the ideal state. He says, then when any one of the citizens experiences any good or evil, the whole state will make his case their own and will either rejoice or sorrow with him. Again, question mark. That's an interesting statement, when any one of the citizens experiences any good or evil. So when we see a cop executed by another degenerate who was encouraged by Obama and Eric Holder and the media to shoot police because of a constant litany going on for years about how evil police are, all of us are grieving for the dead cop. Or when we, the decent people of America, hear about a soldier who was killed by an Afghani who shot him in the back. All of us have sorrow at the same time, except the vermin on the left, who probably rejoice. Do you understand that? So we don't have a well-ordered state. Instead, we have a disordered state. We have a disordered state that was always disordered, but more disordered now than it's ever been in my lifetime. And that's because of the imposter in the White House, who has constantly understood from the day he was conscious that by conquering, by dividing, you conquer. He knows nothing else. He is the scorpion who you help across the river, and he stings you. And as you're dying, you say to the scorpion, "Why did you sting me, Miss?" And he looks at you, the frog, and he says, "Because I can, because I am a scorpion." Obama is that scorpion. He was helped across the river by liberals, and then, of course, he stung all of them in many different ways. He gave nobody anything because ultimately he's only for himself. He didn't learn the rest of that adage, which is, if I'm not for myself, who will I be? That he got right. But if I'm only for myself, what am I? He didn't get that part of it. That part of the wisdom didn't enter his brain yet. He's only for himself. And like a true Machiavellian leader, he used the people on the left to advance his own life. Okay? Meanwhile, 7 million men ages 25 to 54 are neither employed nor available for work. You hear this? Lots of men don't have a job, and they're not even looking for one. 7 million men ages 25 to 54 are either not employed or are not available for work. Where'd they come from? The percentage of working-age Americans in the labor force remains stuck near its lowest level since the late 70s. So tell me how Obama helped them. A goodly percentage of them are African-American. How did he help them? He didn't. He used them. And then when things were not going well for him, he used them again to burn down Ferguson and burn down half of Baltimore and thus cause riots around the country with a little help from his friend over there for the Austrian imposter. Whatever he is, not Austrian, pardon me. I was thinking, the other guy, George Soros, he's from Romania. Romania, I have nothing against Romanians, don't get me wrong. Romania's an interesting country, I should talk about that another day. Romania, Germania. It's when the Romans conquered that area. It's why a lot of Jewish people who have Romanian origins like Italian food, I think. I'm not sure, I've got to look into that. That's a side note that takes a little thought to actually analyze. So now we have a nation that's in disarray. So we have the artists. Do we blame them for everything? No, but they are certainly a big part of the sickness, the social sickness in the country today. And I made my point. What, am I going to hammer it now over and over again? No. I did ask another leading question. No calls on that. I read today that Mr. Trump is meeting with all of the people in the media who attacked him, who undermined him, including one of the worst people in the world, Wolf Blitzer. Now, why would Trump want to be in the same room with Wolf Blitzer? I don't think there's enough air spray in Manhattan to clean Trump Tower after these people went in there today. There's nothing. He can't use a wipe on the handles to get their germs out of the place. Why is he meeting with a guy like that? Why is he meeting with people who ripped him apart like that fraud Chuck Todd or MSNBC president Phil Griffin? How about Charlie Hose? Why would he have him around him? Why would he have people like from Face the Nation, like John Dickerson, who were seen undermining him during the campaign to kiss his ring? Well, that's because his chief campaign manager, Kellyanne Conway, arranged it. She is now God Almightyous. She is now the goddess of Almighty. No one knows who she is. No one knows where she came from. No one knows how a pollster of her obscure origins would wind up running the world, but she is. No one knows who she is or where she is. I do, though. And, in fact, I want you to raise your hand if you can remember this. Many of you know me when I was a local host here in San Francisco on KSFO. Raise your hand. Right. I see the... And you went to my early events, the predators of the Tea Party events. I had the compassionate conservative events like Saving Private Ryan. But before that... I'm sorry, Saving the Real Private Ryan. Before that, I had Name 'Em and Shame 'Em in Oakland. Try 'em and fry 'em in Oakland or somewhere. Marin Civic Center. We had a lot of big events, 2,000 people. They were astounding productions. I was lucky to have my family as producers, but since they've gone on to bigger and better things, I don't have producers anymore, so I don't do them anymore. And on top of that, I don't do live performances for a number of other reasons, not the least of which is the issue of the society has changed so drastically that I don't want to expose myself to unnecessary risk, nor my audience exposing them to unnecessary risk, to be frank with you, because of the crazies out there. So way back in one of my events, Compassionate Conservative events, I had on stage a whole slew of people from the Republican side. At one of my earliest events, 95, 96, on that stage was a woman named Kellyanne Conway. And I have the videotape. Now, how she rose from an obscure pollster to running the free world is an interesting story. But then again, it's a story that has not yet been told.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com.
The Hollywood Reporter is reporting there's a star chamber of sorts. And in the star chamber now are all the vermin of the left who undermine Trump every day of their life, including CNN boss, the slimy Jeff Zucker, the disgraceful Wolf Blitzer, who is a shame both to the family name and his own people, Aaron Burnett, all the people who made a mockery of the word journalism are there, George Stephan, all of us, all of them are there. Charlie Rose, a nobody. I have no idea why he's so popular, but they're all there. They're calling it a star chamber. Why would they show up if they hated him so much? Think about that. I mean, forget about why Trump's having them there. We can pretty much figure that out. But why would these pathetic leeches, all of a sudden, after telling us that Trump was Hitler, Trump was this, Trump was that, Trump was Hitler, Trump was where in the world, why would these pathetic leeches go to Trump Tower today? Why? Because they're addicted to publicity, no matter what it is. That's all. They're addicted to publicity. They will do anything to have a camera put on them. It's that simple. So that's why they're there. And that's it. Why he has them there is pretty clear. He's trying to make them his friend so that they're nicer to him. It's not going to work. It won't work. They're going to still attack him like the jackals that they are. You're telling me Wolf Blitzer is going to suddenly be an honorable man? Okay, but I'm reading about Plato's Republic. I don't even know if I want to do the Trump thing. I'm going to go on to another topic in a minute. But Steve on WJR, line two, fire away, 30 seconds or less. We'll do some quick calls.
Dr. Savage, it's a pleasure. You've changed my world. You opened my eyes. And I just want to say Donald Trump brought them all, the star chamber, whatever you want to call it, for one reason. We elected him president, and if any of us had the chance to put all those people in a room and lay down some ground rules and just ask them why, maybe they can look around at each other. And maybe they can use this as a chance to apologize, or maybe...
See, you're a man with character, so you assume others have character. You think that a man like Wolf Blitzer has a character inside that facade? You think that a shell, a fake shell, a creation, a construct like Chuck Todd has a character inside his shell?
No, but I know Donald Trump does.
They have nothing inside. They're like plant this peanut man, who walked around with a fake shell over his body on Broadway when I was a kid. There's nothing in there. They're not going to respond to him as a human being would. So you think that he's going to lecture them and they're going to straighten out?
No, I don't think it's a lecture. I think Donald Trump doesn't lecture people. He listens and he's going to put them all together. And then I think something's going to be said that it's going to, you know, in his own way. However he does it. I mean, he's very... He's
all right, so you actually think he's a Pied Piper who can take a man without character and give him character? He can inject character into a man just by being around him?
No, but he might be able to let him know that there'll be other men of character making sure that he stays in line.
All right, look, you're an optimist. I'm not about these people. These are weasels. These are weasels who will attack them the minute they walk out the door. Because they got their little publicity. These leeches, these pathetic leeches, are the ones who ripped them apart for almost a whole year. And now the leeches are in the door with them. So why would leeches like Stephanopoulos, Wolf Blitzer, Jeff Zucker, Bill Shine,
Why would a guy like Phil Griffin, one of the worst people in the history of the media, a man who has no shame, no dignity, no class, a man who put the lowest vermin in the planet on MSNBC over and over again, who not only disgraced the great name of NBC, but destroyed any credibility whatsoever for the word journalism, why would a man like Phil Griffin be expected to be anything but what he is? A snake. That's all. I have very strong feelings about these people, which I'm holding back, as you can tell. And I intend not to express my feelings about people in the media in a way that you may take some umbrage with. So that's the meeting today. Humble pie, you think he served them humble pie? Do you think he lectured them? Do you think he told them how to behave in the future? I wonder. But I'd rather talk about Plato's Republican music and how art has been used to corrupt man going back to Plato. Or we can go on to Plato if you prefer. We'll talk about clay.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
Back to the beginning of the Savage Nation by referring to Plato's Republic, written 2,700 years ago, asking what is the ideal state. And here we are with a new president, and many of us are cheering him on, as we should. But does he ask himself what is an ideal state? Does he know what he's trying to achieve? Does he have an architectural plan? What is the end result of Donald Trump's plans? What will be the nation that he wants to create? Can they even answer the question, did Obama have a master plan in mind when he started? Do any of our presidents ask themselves what is the ideal state? How do we make prosperity more available to all? How do we create more peace rather than more war? Because to me, it's all about peace more than anything. I said that last week, incidentally. It's as good a time as any to talk about it. Just after the election last week, I saw Mel Gibson's movie Hacksaw Ridge. And I went on the air. And just as I went on the air, I saw that Trump was speaking to Putin, even though he had not yet been sworn in. The two men vowed to work together. And frankly, it was a sigh of relief for me. The left should have been celebrating Trump instead of rioting in the streets. Do you know why? Because we almost had a war with Russia, thanks to the psychopath in the White House and the sorority of warmongers around him. He was ginning up a war with Russia, and the neolibs and the neocons were salivating for a war. And by the way, I'll get into that in a minute, because I'm not a fan of this guy Bolton, the walrus. I think Bolton represents the neocon, the worst of the neocon instincts in this country. He should not be selected as secretary of anything. He should remain an outsider at the one of the other foundations going on television shows. But Trump had been on my show a month before the election, and he said he'd meet with Vladimir Putin. This was in October. Right on the show, he said he would meet with Putin if he could, even before he was inaugurated. That's how badly Donald Trump wanted to tamp down war talk. But the crazy feminist sorority that surrounds Obama was dying for a war with Russia. For all I know, they still are. By the way, do we have that tape of Donald on the show? I bet you got it ready, Robert. Your foot pedals down on the... In a minute, wait a minute. So I led Donald Trump to that commitment to meet with Putin with a series of questions I asked him on the show. You see, I've been writing about the liberal demonization of Putin and Russia for years in my books. I spent a long piece of scorched earth warning you about it. I know Putin is no angel, and I know that Russia's interests don't always coincide with ours. But that does not mean we must be enemies, and it doesn't mean we must give the forces of darkness in Washington another war to get rich on, while the rest of us suffer and our soldiers die for nothing. And that's why I asked Mr. Trump for a commitment to talk to Putin at the earliest possible opportunity. And I got it. Robert, play that tape now for my loyal listeners on the Savage Nation. We have it or don't we? Nothing. Dead in the water? I hear nothing. Like a dud. Went off dead. Like a howitzer shell with no fuse in it. Okay, we're going. It's loading. See, still load. Oh, here we go. It's ready. It's loaded. It's loaded and ready to go. Go ahead. Let's hear it already. Not firing. Okay, another wonderful day in the Savage studio. Broken equipment, failing then. All right, so I keep going on. It's like flying a plane with four engines. Every day one of them flames out, but you got to keep flying. Well, what happened was predictable. The media went berserk the next day. All the little girls and little boys who Trump just invited into the Trump Tower were running around screaming, "Oh, Trump's going to step on Obama's foreign policy. Let's hope. Let's hope he doesn't step on Obama's foreign policy." Well, then I said, "Do you realize that if Trump does nothing else, he's already done more than any other president would have given us, especially the hysteric Hillary Clinton, who wanted a war in order to satisfy the bloodlust of her followers?" Listen to me. I'm an anti-war conservative. Do you know what that means? I know you don't understand what those words mean because you think liberals are anti-war, but they are not. As you can now see in the streets of America, they are the violent fascists of our time, using the drug-addicted children as their shock troops, the same way ISIS uses civilians as human shields. Yes, the Soros-funded vermin behind the children in the streets are like ISIS. All these left-wing organizations represent the true danger to America, not Donald Trump. One of the reasons I worked so hard to get Donald Trump elected is I believe he will be a man of peace. Put everything else aside, the most important thing in this world is not the economy, it's peace. Domestic peace, international peace, peace between individuals, peace between nations, far more important than gross domestic product or low interest rates. Did you know that hundreds of years ago, Thomas Hobbes said that the first law of nature is to seek peace? That is the essence of true conservatism. And I'm not just talking about the absence of military war on the battlefield. I'm talking about peace between individuals and groups within society. It's truly the opposite of progressivism, which seeks nothing but conflict. They promote conflict between people of different racial groups, different sexual orientations, and different income levels. They even promote conflict between men and women. And I'll pause right there, because many of you have to understand the connection between armies fighting on battlefields and classes fighting in the streets of America. And that's because their liberal school teachers and professors never taught them the true nature of government. Government is force. That's all it is. It's the pooled capacity for violence of every member of society. It's the societal equivalent of a firearm for an individual. It is only supposed to be used defensively to protect innocent people from aggression by others. The insane left doesn't want to limit government, this violent institution, to defending the innocent. They politicize everything. They want to transform peaceful, voluntary exchanges of property into violent, coerced redistributions. They wage war against voluntary associations and force people to associate against their will. They won't even allow peace in the expression of one's own thoughts. If a confused boy or girl can't choose one of the two sexes to identify as, they want to force everyone else to refer to them with a whole new set of pronouns. We're all Thomas Moores in this century, being forced to say the words the king orders us to say. That is why true conservatives oppose everything the left stands for, domestically and internationally. But getting back again to Donald Trump and the war, can we have that tape, Robert? Is it ready to go? It's very important you hear me, because again, I have to say this. I warned you that Donald Trump would probably be a social liberal. I did that perhaps 2 months ago. I saw his inclinations. I knew his background. I'm not a fool. I know who he is politically. But I said to you, on the big picture, we would be better off with him than her. And we are, so I think and I pray. But let's go back to that show in October before Donald won, and let's listen to this issue of him and Putin.
Yeah. If I win on November 8th, I think I could see myself meeting with Putin and meeting with Russia prior to the start of the administration.
Well, what's missing is the prelude to that. I don't know what happened to it. We had it last week, but apparently it's not ready. Okay, but you get the whole picture. You get the broad picture of that. So he's done that. Now we wake up, and Trump's now meeting with the warmongers, the neocon journalists, the neolib journalists, the fascist journalists, the drug journalists, the leeches, the parasites, those without souls, those without character. Why is he meeting with them? Well, it makes sense in a way. If he can bring them in and hit them with some stardust, maybe they won't behave as badly once he becomes president. I understand that. I do. I truly understand that. So don't think I don't understand it. But I don't think they're going to change. I don't think you're going to change what I called them earlier. You know, names, forget the names, okay? Whatever they are, they're not going to change. K. Eugene in Oregon. Fred, line 9, go ahead. Why is Trump meeting with his media enemies?
That Donald Trump has made up his mind about some cabinet picks, and he's called in the media as to let him know, sort of as an olive branch to the media that was so bad, you know, that treated him so badly during the election, you know, to try and mend the fences. Hello?
So, yeah, I understand that, but do you think a man like Wolf Blitzer, a man who was born without a personality, is going to change?
Actually, no, I don't think it'll work. I think the media is so corrupt and politicized towards the liberals that, you know, they might take advantage of, you know, this offer and
How could a man as low as Phil Griffin, who put the lowest people in human society and gave them television shows, how could a man as low as him, a man born without a character, a man who needs a character transplant, how could that man ever change his spots? Can you explain that to me?
Well, no, I can't, but I think maybe that's Donald Trump's M.O. At least he's trying to reach out to these people, just like when he invited Mitt Romney in. I don't think he's going to offer him the Secretary of State. I think he just wanted to mend the fences, and I think this might just be...
All right, no, I accept. I see the same thing you do. But I don't think you can take damaged individuals who need character transplants and fix them with a meeting in Trump Tower. And the bigger question is, if they were so true to their calling, and they said he was Hitler 2 weeks ago, why are they going into Hitler's Tower all of a sudden?
Well, you know, the ratings, you know, that pays their salary. So.
Why? Why would they go in? Because they're leeches. They're leeches who live only for a quick photo flash. Anything to be in the public eye. Anything. And this is the sickening story of our time today. You know what? I think I'll start giving out copies of Teddy and Me all week today. Would you like a copy of that wonderful book for the holidays?
What's that now?
Thank you very much for the call. Sorry. Going once, going... I never repeat it all. One thing I learned. So he didn't mean anything. He didn't hear me. I'm giving away copies of Teddy and Me to anyone lucky enough to get on the Savage Nation. I had two books out this year, Scorched Earth and Teddy and Me. Teddy and Me came out, Confessions of a Service Human. It's a great holiday gift for children. Beautiful. It's me there with the dog, every day feeding, walking, bicycling, talking to him. I feel sad about him now. He's getting old. I don't like it again. I lost too many of them over the years. It's maudlin when you look at a dog. I mean, he's still healthy, but he's 12, you know what I mean? Like, the teeth were removed this year a little bit, that surgery. He don't know it. They're so noble. He jumps off the bed in the morning when I get up. I can't catch him in time. He don't know he's sick. He jumps and it compresses his trachea and he goes, he sounds like an old man with a death rattle. Teddy, I says, Teddy, I told you don't jump. I said, let me put you down. And they don't complain. They don't whimper. They don't cry. Nothing. That's why we love our animals. They're role models for us. He don't know he's not a puppy. People see him. How old is the puppy? Little children, I don't make them sad. I say, oh, he's young. They don't want to hear anything gets old. But, you know, the way of all flesh. Oh, look at this. Donald Trump's in here. I can't believe this. The thing about him. I can't believe this. Wait a minute. Page 26, I mentioned Trump even in this book, which came out before. Wait a minute. I remember when I was a boy, maybe 10 or 11 or 12, I had a best friend. We'll call him Steven. And waking up on Saturday mornings hasn't felt like that the days of boyhood since. The whole day waited for us. Usually it consisted of getting on our bicycles and going on for a very long ride. There used to be a bicycle path where I grew up in Queens, New York. They said it was Vanderbilt's private roadway for his racing car. I don't know whether that was true or not, but it was an amazing place to take a long bike ride. We'd start out in mid-Queens, where I lived, sort of in the Jamaica area, actually near Donald Trump's house, just on the other side of Union Turnpike, the main roadway that separates the houses of the lower middle from the upper middle classes, and we'd bicycle all day long, way, way, way out on Long Island. Sometimes we'd be gone all day talking, playing, kidding, laughing. Now, how can you compare that with the companionship of an animal, even a highly intelligent, intuitive dog? I ask this not to diminish my relationship with Teddy or any of my other dogs, which have all been special, but to keep things in perspective. Man is unique, special in all kinds of ways, some of which are even negative. Still, having said that, there is no more consistently loyal friend than a dog. See, I don't know that friend Stephen anymore. We were friends as boys, and then as adolescents, we were still friends. But as we became men, we went our own ways. We found out we were very different, had nothing in common. The same can't be said for a relationship with a dog. In this sense, for the 11 or 12 years I've been with Teddy so far, it's been a very consistent relationship. He's always been my friend, and he's always been there for me. That will never change. This, of course, leads to the inevitable question of eternity, which I do not think is a question I can address at this time. And there's a picture of me and him and me fixing the Jaguar and instructing me on the finer point in regard to a complex Ferrari engine and me in a bar and having a drink. It's a nice book. What else? What show prep, Ted? Way to go. These pictures are awesome. Vincent Rimini took them. He's one of the greatest pet photographers in the world. He captured the soul in this dog. Oh, well, I'll move on. Teddy and me, great holiday gift for children. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. There's a great picture of me and Donald Trump that I found in the archives that I put up on michaelsavage.com. I don't know if I'll be happy with it, but Teddy's there. Me, I'm holding Teddy. We're in Mar-a-Lago. Big smiles. Two guys from Queens. Yeah, right. This was before he ran for office a couple of years ago. I mean, I don't know if I'm allowed to post the picture, but you better get a look at it while you still can. So, again, going back to Plato's Republic here on the Savage Nation, I got to read this to you. About, you're not going to believe this. He's talking about income tax in the ideal society. And he says, the just man will pay more and the unjust less in the same amount of income. And he goes on. And then he says, this is Plato now, 2,700 years ago. Observe also what happens when they take an office. There is the just man neglecting his affairs and perhaps suffering other losses and getting nothing out of the public because he is just. Moreover, he is hated by his friends and acquaintances for refusing to serve them in unlawful ways. But all this is reversed in the case of the unjust man who attains high office. I am speaking as before of injustice on a large scale, in which the advantage of the unjust is more apparent. And my meaning will be most clearly seen if we turn to that highest form of injustice in which the criminal is the happiest of men. And the sufferers, or those who refuse to do injustice, are the most miserable. That is to say, tyranny, which by fraud and force takes away the property of others, not little by little, but wholesale. Plato, 2,700 years ago, the Republic. I'm Michael Savage, Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
Talking about how art has been used to corrupt man going back to Plato. Now, don't get me wrong. I mean, I love art and I love poetry, science. However, if we don't understand the power of art in shaping the course of events, then we're missing an awful lot. And I referred to Plato's Republic, a book written 2,700 years ago on how a state should be ordered. And yet we don't even have a plan today. None of our presidents seem to come to office with a firm plan of how to order a state. Not order a steak. They all know how to order a steak. But they don't know how to order a state. And I found this in reading the Republic this morning, which I'll read again to you. And he's talking about the unjust and the just man. And he says, what happens when they take an office? There is the just man neglecting his affairs and perhaps suffering other losses and getting nothing out of the public because he is just. Moreover, he is hated by his friends and acquaintances for refusing to serve them in unlawful ways. We're not talking about Bill Clinton there. But all this is reversed in the case of the unjust man. I am speaking as before of injustice on a large scale, in which the advantage of the unjust is more apparent. And my meaning will be most clearly seen if we turn to that highest form of injustice in which the criminal is the happiest of men. And the sufferers, or those who refuse to do injustice, are the most miserable. That would be you. That would be you, the deplorables. The sufferers, or those who refuse to do injustice, are the most miserable. That is to say, tyranny, which by fraud and force takes away the property of others, not little by little, but wholesale, comprehending in one thing sacred as well as profane, private and public, for which acts of wrong. So you understand what I'm talking about. The robbers, the robber barons under Obama, the burglars, the swindlers and thieves who've been running this country and still are, the burglars, swindlers, thieves who've been getting us into wars for profit, many of whom are in the Senate right now, or have wives in the Senate right now to steer contracts their way. They haven't gone away. And the great injustice continues. Because that's not going to be changed just because we elected Donald Trump. Do you actually think we're going to root out the corrupt ones, the evil ones? Do you think we're going to really drain the swamp? Do you think the swamp is going to be drained when we see a man like the one that the RNC foisted upon him right away from the get-go, from day one? You tell me they are the swamp. How can you tell me that the swamp will be drained when the swamp creatures are swarming all over Trump Tower? How can you tell me that? Well, you're saying that he can control them if he gets them close to him. I get that. I can understand that. He's a powerful man. He has all the power in the world coming to him. So you're assuming that because the snakes and the swindlers are invited to Trump Tower, they're going to change their ways. Well, I got a little news for you. Snakes and swindlers don't change their ways until they're behind bars. And even then, they continue to tell you that they're right. You know, one of the shows I love to watch on TV is American Greed. I think Stacy Keach is the announcer. I'm not sure. But you know something I've noticed with these big swindlers, and I've seen it in my own life. Even when they're caught in a major fraud and put behind bars, in a jailhouse interview, they'll tell you they didn't do anything wrong. They still try to tell you that they did something, they were right, they were missing this and that, they're going to appeal. I had that in my own life. No matter how many times I won in a fair court of law, somebody I work with continues to sue, thinking that he's going to change the course of his life by using the courts against innocent people, just people, men 1,000 times better than he could ever dream of being. Dirt on my shoe is better than some of these people I've dealt with. And yet they can use the courts to their advantage. So the same is true in society at large. And I don't think that the thieves and the swindlers and the snakes are going to change just because they're being invited into the gilded towers of Trump Tower. I wish him the best of luck. I hope he can change their ways. And maybe by, you know, the old adage, I know it, keep your friends close, your enemies closer. He knows the media is his enemy. So they're there. Now, I could ask you stuff. I'm going to give you an example. Here is Christy Tard Whitman, who was invited into Trump Tower, I believe, yesterday, Robert, or today. Remember her? Who was Christy Tard Whitman? She was once the New Jersey governor. Am I right? I think that's who she was. No answer. No one knows anything. Christy Tard Whitman is a Republican. And not too long ago, Christy Tard Whitman had this to say about Donald Trump, but that did not stop Donald Trump and his minions from inviting Christy Tard Whitman into the Gilded Tower this morning. Listen to her.
You know, frankly, if you go and look at your history and read your history in the lead up to the Second World War, this is the kind of rhetoric that allowed Hitler to move forward, because you have a people who were scared, the economy was bad, they want someone to blame, and we're in a different situation because we have seen that we have a war going on, in a sense, a different kind of war than we've ever faced before. But this, there's a group of people out there, they're not all Muslims. I mean, it's not just Muslim, it's radicalized Muslims, it's terrorists. They're different than the average Muslim, shall we say.
What do you mean, shall we say? What do you mean, shall we say? What are you saying, dumb dunce? She's in the Trump Tower.
She's been invited in. Is she going to change? No, I don't think so. Now we got the other issues. We have the clown exiting the circus, Barry from Honolulu, who is completely lying about his history as he leaves the wreckage that he has created. He's destroyed not only the country and the world, but he's destroyed the Democrat Party. That's his greatest sin, by the way, to his colleagues. Forget the world and the nation, that they never cared about. But Barry the imposter destroyed the Democratic Party, let's hope, for 100 years. I want you to listen to this man for a minute. It's very important you hear it, because remember what I said to you just a few minutes ago? One of my favorite shows is American Greed. They got guys who are caught swindling hundreds of millions, billions, and they do jailhouse interviews where they say they didn't do anything wrong, they didn't intend to rob, that if they get out, they're going to do restitution, they want to get free so that they can help the people that they were allegedly hurt, even though they didn't hurt them. He knows they were hurt by accident, so therefore the only thing you can do is get free from jail so you can help them again by swindling other people. This is Barack Obama, a psychopath by any definition. You see, you don't understand. Most people don't understand this. And this is the thing that's hardest for me to understand, make you understand. When I say communist, you have images of the posters, Trotsky, Lenin marching with a red beret to a red flag. That's not what a communist is. Think of your local alderman. Think of your local mayor. Think of your local Democrat congressman. Think of your local Democrat senator. They're communists. All their policies are that of communism, okay? So that's number one. But number two, and here's the important point. When I say to you psychopath, you think a psychopath has to run around in the street with a knife and stab people, or rape people, or do horrible things like that. What you don't understand is a psychopath can look like you, talk like you, walk like you, in fact, look better than you, talk better than you, walk better than you, dress better than you, be more polite than you, and do more damage than 1,000 actual psychos in the streets of New York or anywhere else in America. That's Barry Obama. So the psychopath is now doing a world tour telling everyone how great he was. Listen to this. I've got to get this one, and clip 10 is the right one.
I'll knock on some wood here, because we got 2 months left. I am extremely proud of the fact that over 8 years, we have not had the kinds of scandals that have plagued other administrations.
Wow.
And when I met with the president-elect, I suggested to him that having a strong White House counsel that could provide clear guideposts and rules would benefit him and benefit his team, because it would eliminate a lot of ambiguity.
Listen to what he just said. He's now advising Trump on how to not have a scandal. And he's saying he himself had no scandals whatsoever. Well, Mr. President, I ain't Marilyn Monroe. But Mr. President, you're so full of it, it's a nightmare. You have scorched the earth in your 8 years. You have shamed America in your 8 years. You have emboldened our enemies in 8 years. You think a scandal means taking money for personal gain? Or you think a scandal means like what Bill Clinton did with girls in the White House? Those are scandalous events, but they're nowhere near as damaging as what you did, Mr. President. I warned in this book that our nation is in danger from two forces, liberals and their progressive agenda, and radical Islamists and their murderous visions of jihad. It's the opening paragraph to Scorched Earth. Has that all changed because Donald Trump has been elected? Let me ask you something. All members of ISIS, what, threw down their dirty nightshirts now, and they're rushing for a job somewhere in Brooklyn? They're trying to get here to run a falafel stand? And all the liberals have now thrown down their plans to destroy the middle class, and they've gone back to teaching at Barnard? I don't think so. Inspired by a president and an attorney general who openly censured our brave police, a band of black supremacist, white-hating lunatics ambushed and executed heroic officers in Dallas this past July. Do you remember that? It happened again days later in Baton Rouge. Shortly before that, claiming allegiance to ISIS, a Muslim terrorist shot up a gay nightclub in Orlando, murdering scores of people. The end of Western civilization is no longer a vision for enemies within and without. It is operational. They are doing it. And who are the players in this horror?
Barack Hussein Obama, Eric Holder, Loretta Lynch, and even Hillary Clinton. They were exposed as the fear-mongering opportunists that they are. Has anything changed since Donald Trump was elected? No. Just the other day, our Attorney General, Loretta Lynch, handpicked by Al Sharpton, that esteemed American, had the nerve to come out and say that there are now hate crimes against Muslims since Donald Trump was elected, and that she's going to use the full force of the Justice Department to pursue each and every fake complaint and send legions of lawyers out to hunt down every fake case of bias and prosecute you to the full extent of the law. Has she changed her spots? Has she altered her worldview? Has she stopped her radical, psychotic, progressive war upon the middle class and everything decent in this nation? You decide. What must Trump do to stop this? What are his plans for America? We have an inkling as to what they are. I wrote about them in the last three books. Many people have said many of his ideas match those of yours. That's why you backed them. Well, we did, and some of his early announcements are great. Michael Flynn, great idea. There are others that look very promising. So we have to give him the benefit of the doubt. As far as a meeting with these leeches from the media, that's just to keep them close so that he tells them in plain terms. If he wants access during his presidency, they better stop the crap. You know what I'm saying? But now we have the bigger issue of America's borders, language, and culture. Will he build that wall? Will he reassert our cultural values? I think he is. Yesterday, him and Mike Pence were seen going to an actual church. Would you believe that? When have you last seen Obama, who claims he's a Christian, going to church? Never. When did you see Clinton going to church? Every Sunday with a fake Bible that was created for him in large size by one of his friends in Hollywood, a prop maker, who created an oversized Bible with a cross on it so that when he was seen going into church on Sunday to check out the women, he could be seen as going into church on Sunday to check out the teachings of his religion. So you see, we have a big job ahead of us, and what Trump must do, his plans for America, are spelled out in scorched earth, restoring the country after Obama.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Started out to be an Italian dish, but by the time I got through with the spices, it became a moussaka. It was pretty good. So causing a big stir right now on michaelsavage.com and my Facebook page is a picture that I found of Mr. Trump and I taken a few years back before he was even running for office. I happened to have been in his club. It's funny, Teddy is in it. I took him to Florida on that trip. And I'll never forget to this day, he came out with his lovely wife, Melania, and his little boy. And he's so charming, it's unbelievable to me. We'd never met. He said, "Oh, Melania, you have to meet one of the most important men in the media." I laughed. I didn't even know he knew who I was. We had a nice few minutes. It's not Photoshop. Teddy's giving him a weird eye, though. I got to tell you, the picture's odd. You know that since I put it up, there's 95,000 people were reached with this picture. This is going to go viral. I don't know why. Most of you are complimentary, but then the rotten, stinking people are putting up such horrible, stupid statements. What did they have to do that for? "Listen to you every day," says Edward Vega. "You're the architect of this revolution." Blah, blah, blah. Anyway, there's a lot of nice comments out there. "Dear Savage, I just noticed Teddy has the same smile on his face as you." God. Dogs do imitate them. Borders, language, culture. Never forget that. And people really appreciate the fact that, was it not for this show and others, we would have Hillary Clinton. You know? We'd have her as president. I want you to think now about what this country would be today had she won. What if she had stolen the election? Think about what this country would be going through right now. Just think of her grating voice alone. Think of the psychotic sorority sisters around her and what they would be doing on a daily basis. The very same leeches that are inside Trump Tower today, because Trump called them there, would be celebrating the final nails in the coffin of America. under Hillary Clinton. We would have war with Russia in Ukraine. I can guarantee you there'd be a limited exchange. There would have at least been air combat and then possibly an interchange in Europe, all because of her. Trust me, I saw where this was going. The border would never be secured. Now, Barry is flooding in as many illegals as he can, as fast as he can. He should be arrested as a war criminal for doing this. But, all right, that's not going to happen. He is the most corrupt, dangerous man in American history. That's Barry Obama, in case you don't know it. It's spelled O-B-A-M-A. He's busting the border wide open.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Now pick up the paper. I don't read a paper. Richard Johnson, New York Post, page 6. It's one of my favorite columns. Where the headline is, the Obamas are moving into a 9-bedroom mansion in the Kalorama section of Washington. The posh neighborhood of diplomats. I love what's behind clothes. Diplomat. Oh, look at that. There's a diplomat. You ever see what the dipsomaniacs in the diplomats' houses? What's behind the closed door in Georgetown? If there was a handy cam in those houses, you wouldn't have to do another reality show for the rest of eternity. The posh neighborhood of diplomats and D.C. old money. Old money. What does old money mean? They're in the drug business before everybody else. That's all. While younger daughter Sasha finishes high school at Sidwell Friends. Well, that's a cheap school. But they've been apparently buying real estate elsewhere, too. According to sources, the Obamas have purchased a house in Rancho Mirage, California, not far from Sunnylands, the former Annenberg estate, which presidents use as a getaway and which is thought of as the unofficial West Coast Camp David. Rancho Mirage, where Gerald Ford retired, is a top destination for golf, a favorite pastime of President Obama. The Obamas are also said to have bought a holiday getaway in Obama's childhood home state of Hawaii. So he's got now two houses now. Wait a minute. He got a 9-bedroom mansion in D.C. They purchased a house in Rancho Mirage. He bought a holiday home in Hawaii. Wait a minute. So I have a question on the top of my little paper here. Where did the Obamas suddenly get the money to buy three houses? Am I allowed to ask that? How come all the reporters that just went to Trump's tower haven't asked that single question? Wait a minute, where did he get the money to buy the three houses? I don't understand. Can anyone explain that to me? I know that they found $175 billion somewhere in the White House to give to Iran so they could develop a nuclear weapon. No one's even asked where that money came from. Where'd that money come from? Where did that money come from? Where did that money come from? Where did $175 billion in cash come from? I don't know. Where'd the money come from to buy three houses? Well, he didn't buy the three houses. Who bought them then? Who paid for them? Okay, he's doing it what? On the what's he's going to make? And the lecture circuit, maybe? Maybe it's like a mortgage? No, what it usually be is someone bought a house for him as a loan, and he'll schmear him back. And he'll pay him like a dollar on a thousand, a dollar on... I don't know how this works. I read this morning, I read the rogues gallery that has been marching through the Trump Tower. I was stunned. Deadline Hollywood, Dominic Patton, Donald Trump meeting with media brass excellence, says Kellyanne Conway update. So I said to him, wait a minute, who's in there? Who's in there? Wolf Blitzer is meeting with Donald Trump? George Step on All of Us? Fox News people who attacked him? I can't believe it. Chuck Up Chuck Todd? President Phil Pill Griffin is there? Charlie Rose, Nora O'Donnell, John Dickerson, who all spit on him during the campaign. And I say to myself, wait a minute, maybe I'm reading this wrong. So I say, why is Trump meeting with his enemies, not his friends? I say, oh, no, this is not sour grapes. I don't go anywhere, by the way. If he said to me on a phone, come to the inauguration, I don't know if I'd go. I'll be honest with you. But he hasn't. I'm in a level with you. I told you, I tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. How many times was he on the show saying, when I say the umbrella, I have the umbrella. Oh, don't worry, you keep that umbrella. Well, I have the umbrella. I think I'm not going to be using it for the inauguration. But why is he meeting with these people who spit on him and disrespected him so? Well, I'm asking myself, why is Trump meeting with his enemies, not his friends? So I can figure this one out. It's not that hard to figure out. He's triangulating them. Okay, keep your enemies closer. We got it. We all saw The Godfather. Please don't call on that. Don't give me Radio 101. I mean, the lowest prisoner in Rikers Island knows the answer to this question. I keep saying Rikers Island now, like you don't even know what it is. Rikers Island is like a tomb in New York where they put people in there. It's beyond belief, a medieval prison. It's worse than where they put war heroes who did their job in Iraq and Afghanistan. Worse. We got guys rotting in Fort Leavenworth who are leading lives worse than the worst murderer awaiting trial in Rikers Island. I haven't seen anyone go out and visit them and release them from the Bastille. Why has there been no statement from any of the greats around Donald Trump that the first thing they're going to do is they're going to revisit all of the people who were jailed for doing their jobs a little too well in Iraq and Afghanistan under Bush and then Obama? How come we haven't heard that? Why is there no amnesty for them, I ask myself? Well, I have a lot of questions I'm asking. I don't have any answers. But again, I'm getting ahead of myself on this day of the Greek, the day of the Greek. I was watching a TV show called The Night Of. Obscure. No, none of you saw it. One guy will call from New Jersey, who's a shut-in, telling me he knows it's great. But a lot of the scenes, well, John Turturro plays a guy, a schleppy lawyer in it, who gets a Pakistani Muslim kid as a client who's accused of murder because he goes out with a girl, they get high, girl's found dead, he didn't do it, blah, blah, blah. So the kid gets thrown into Rikers Island. It's a series. I've been binge-watching. It's been raining out here. Drinking more wine than I have in the past with the rainy weather. I got to tell you, it's not bad. I found a new Italian wine, a Valpolicella. I used to love Valpolicella. Most of it became swill that the people in Italy didn't know. They thought people didn't know the difference. But they're competing again. The wine was good. So I'm drinking more wine, as I say, eating a little better, taking care of myself, enjoying, watching TV, sitting out the rain, waiting for the show, and here I am. When I see him meeting with the weasels of the left to undermine them, I come to the conclusion that he's very clever and he's meeting with them to triangulate them and get them onto his team. I get it. But that's not the whole picture. I told you he was a social liberal along the way. I told you that if he does nothing except better our national security, secure our borders, deport the illegal aliens in prison, lower our taxes, and I don't mean by 2%. I don't want to hear my federal tax goes from 39.5 to 36. That's not going to please me. That's going to be double talk. When they suddenly sit down the number crunches and say, oh, Mr. President, you can't lower them anymore because we won't have the money. Oh, really? Make sure that Facebook and Microsoft and Google pay their fair share and repatriate their money that you won't have to screw us anymore. Should be lowered to like 25. I want 25 Fed. He can't do anything about the communist state of California. 15% state tax. Can you believe this? Why doesn't Jerry Brown just make it 25 state? There's only a few people who pay it. Let us all drop dead, right, Jerry? Till eventually we have nothing left but illegal aliens. What do you care? So anyway, yeah, taxes, national security. The rest is gravy. And think about what she would have done, I say to myself. Now, that could be a rationalization. I understand that. But it isn't. Because we were in such bad shape under the deceitful one. I want to go back to where I started in radio. And I started in radio in 94, and I built it upon a book called Plato's Republic. Now, this show is called The Savage Nation. It was derived from Plato's Republic. Now, what was Plato's Republic about? Well, first of all, let me tell you what it is. It's an outline of an ideal society. That's all it is. Plato wrote a book on how a state should be ordered. He wrote it thousands of years ago. And I had to read this in high school to show you how far we've fallen. We've gone from Plato's Republic to Donnie Has Two Daddies in just a few short years in America. Instead of reading the greats, which educate you and exercise your mind, we have degenerated the entire nation. Well, I'll get to that a little later. I want to stay paused. So I can't believe it. I was cleaning out books. My old library was moved to another house, and it was all over the house. Everywhere I turned, I didn't know what to do with them. So I went in the carton today, and there it was. Plato's Republic jumped out. So in the midst of disorder, I found order. Because I'd been looking for the book. I couldn't find it last week. So I find the book. Plato talked about what I'm going to talk about 2,700 years ago. He wrote about the ideal society. Now, at least he had a plan on how to order a society. Whether you agree with him or not, he had a plan for government. And he wrote, if the city or nation is the soul of a society, what did this actually say? He wrote about sports, about welfare reform. He invented the field of philosophy. And I was flipping through Plato's Republic, and I have the B. Jowett edition, Master of Balliol College, that old one, Modern Library edition. Remember those? In the old days when they were books? Those crazy old days when people picked up a hardcover book? And I stumbled upon something about the American Music Awards. Plato foresaw the low-life degenerates who would come along in the entertainment business. And he wrote a whole dialogue on artists and musicians and what they would do to a society. He wrote, if amusements become lawless, what they will do to a state. And I'm going to read this to you because it's so important that we go back not only to the beginning of my beginning of radio, but to the beginning of our civilization, Western civilization. I don't care where you came from. I don't care if you climbed out of a third world cesspool. You are living in a Western nation. You came here for the benefits that we created for you. You didn't create Jack. You came here to suck it dry. So don't tell me about your sacred third world basket weaving society. And by the way, let me tell you something else. I spent more time in third world societies than any one of you belly achers would ever imagine. It's not like I'm disrespecting it. I know all about it. I've lived in Fiji, Tonga, Samoa. I've lived in the most obscure island societies you could ever imagine. Places that the effete hipsters can't even imagine exist. I've lived in villages. I've slept on straw mats. I've drank kava kava long into the night. I appreciate the third world, but I don't like living in it. If you don't mind, I prefer indoor plumbing to defecating in a hole in the ground, by the way. I don't like tribal society. I like Western society. So why don't you listen and find out a little bit more, if you're one of the people who don't really know what's going on, to the foundations of Western civilization. So I'm reading what he had to say about how to create a perfect society. And it's written as a dialogue where he's speaking to an interlocutor. And he talks about artists. And he says that when modes of music change, the fundamental laws of the state always change with them. Yes, said Adamantus, and you may add my suffrage to Damon's and your own. And then I said, our guardians must lay the foundations of their fortress in music? Yes, he said, the lawlessness of which you speak too easily steals in. Yes, I replied in the form of amusement, and at first sight it appears harmless. Why, yes, he said, and there is no harm were it not that little by little this spirit of license, finding a home, imperceptibly penetrates into manners and customs, whence issuing with greater force, it invades contracts between man and man, and from contracts goes on to laws and constitutions in utter recklessness, ending at last, Socrates, by an overthrow of all rights, private as well as public. Really? Finding a home penetrates into manners and customs? He's talking about music. Oh, you mean when a rap star rubs his crotch on the stage? Oh, I didn't understand that. When the bling is in the teeth and they rub their pubic area on a stage? Is that what Plato was seeing? Wait a minute. You mean he had that right? Is that true, I said. That is my belief, he replied. Then, as I was saying, our youth should be trained from the first in a stricter system. For if amusements become lawless, and the youths themselves become lawless, they can never grow up into well-conducted and virtuous citizens. And when they have made a good beginning in play, and by the help of music, have gained the habit of good order, then this habit of order, in a manner how unlike the lawless play of the others. So they go on about that. Did I make my point? So you see where I'm coming from? I'm illustrating to you some of the key points of what Plato wrote in the Republic about the ideal society. And one of them was about how artists always mislead people, that they're like a weed. Art has been used to corrupt man going back to Plato. And if you thought that when the election results were in, everything would be over, you were wrong. Immediately, there were protests in the streets. They were created by community organizers, with people being bussed in to destroy property and create chaos and deliver a picture of true unrest as a result of their unrest. And then, of course, came the artists and the celebrities who chimed in on their shows, on stages, on Twitter, whining, crying, and agitating for a different result. Be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com.
well into the last minutes of the show. Here's an exclusive breaking story in the Post about that meeting with the vermin in the media, who I called the Ku Klux Klan on November 11th. I was pondering, why would Donald Trump invite the Ku Klux Klan into Trump Towers today? And then we figured, all right, he's trying to, you know, charm them. But no. According to Emily Smith and Daniel Halper, Donald Trump's media summit today was an effing firing squad. President-elect Donald Trump exploded at media bigs in an off-the-record Trump Tower powwow on Monday, sources told the Post. It was like an effing firing squad, said one source. Trump started with Jeff Zucker and said, I hate your network. Everyone at CNN is a liar and you should be ashamed. The meeting was a total disaster. I'm quoting now. The TV execs and anchors went in there thinking they would be discussing the access they would get to the Trump administration, but instead they got a Trump-style dressing down. The source added. A second source confirmed the encounter. The meeting took place in a big boardroom, and there were about 30 or 40 people, including the big news anchors from all the networks. Trump kept saying, we're in a room of liars, the deceitful, dishonest media who got it all wrong. He addressed everyone in the room calling the media dishonest, deceitful liars. He called out Jeff Zucker by name and said everyone at CNN was a liar, and CNN was a network of liars. Now, before I continue reading from this article, do I know if it's true or false? It's a report in the New York Post. That's number one. Number two, there are no sources that are named. Number three, this could be public relations put out by Kellyanne or by Steve Bannon to make us think he was tough with the media when he wasn't. I don't know. So, you know, I don't want to buy this hook, line, and sinker now. But I'll go on with the article. You know, well, you can read it yourself. It's in the top of Drudge Report. They were attacking him and he attacked back. The meeting was off the record, meaning the participants agreed not to talk about the substance of the conversations. An hour-long powwow included execs from network and cable news channels. Among the attendees were NBC's Deborah Turnus, Lester Holt, Chuck Up, Chuck Todd, George Stephanopoulos, David Meyer, Martha Raddatz, Nora O'Donnell, John Dickerson, Charlie Rose, blah, blah, blah. Bill Schein, Jack Abner, Jay Wallace, Suzanne Scott, Phil Pil Griffin, Jeff Zucker, Anna Brenner, and Wolf Blitzer. I was stunned that he would have these lowlifes, these members of the Ku Klux Klan into his Trump Tower. But then we talked about it, and we assumed he's going to charm them. Now we hear from this article, he didn't charm them, he attacked them. So who knows what to believe? Remember, we don't know. All we can do is keep a rather cautious eye on all of it. And that is my job, my friends. I began today with Plato's Republic, and I concluded today with the New York Post. What can be better? This is the Savage Nation with God's will and your listenership. I shall return right here on your local station. I'll never get it up.